Howdy, y'all. I'm DC. I use they, he pronouns, and I am the LGBTQ legal fellow at the ACLU of Kansas. I am also going to be the host of this discussion today on Pride in the Sunflower State. I am thrilled to be welcoming a table full of incredible Kansas advocates to this discussion, many of whom are carrying on that struggle in their own rural communities. So rather than blazing through their bios, I want to give each guest an opportunity to introduce themselves, share their pronouns, where they're from, and a bit about themselves as advocates and what brings you to the work. Barbara, would you like to start?
Yeah, hi, I'm Barbara Williams, and I'm the founder of Love North Family Pride, and we've been going for about 2.5 years now. My pronouns are she, her. I'm originally from Toledo, Ohio. Came out here maybe 10 years ago. Sandra Mead had a chapter of Equality Kansas, and she was looking for people to be on the board and said, hey, I need some bodies. And, I'm not qualified. She looked at me and, I'm not qualified to do anything. I don't know how to be on a board. I need some bodies. So that's where it all got started. And then over the years, I worked with Tom Alonzo, and then I branched out and thought there was a need to be doing something specifically for Leavenworth.
Well, we're really glad to have you,
Well,
Barbara.
thank you.
Jess, do you want to go?
Sure. My name is Jessica Buchholz, and I am the Community Development Coordinator for Emporia Main Street in Emporia, Kansas, and I use she, her pronouns. Emporia Main Street is a nonprofit organization within our community that just really is a driving force in making Emporia a better place to be. And so we focus on everything from economic development and community development. And we just really felt that we wanted to broadcast that message that, like, downtown is for everyone, our community is for everyone. And we started working with several members of the Emporia Pride Celebration Committee. And over the past couple of years, I think that we've really made an impact in spreading that message and supporting different individuals within our community and doing some really cool things for our locals.
Awesome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Tom, do you want to go?
I go by Thomas Alonzo when I'm in the State House or around other groups because we add Tom Witt, so it's Tom and Tom. So you can call me either one. And I'm from Kansas City, Kansas. I am he, him. I started out like with Barb. I met Sandra Mead in a bar. I was wearing a Kansas rainbow flag t-shirt. And she came over and introduced herself, said, "What's this all about?" I said, "I'm going to do a one-man-only move-on campaign to get the unified government to enact an NDO." And she said, "No, you're not. You're going to come with us. Come at this meeting, blah, blah, blah." And that was 2015. The rest is history. And then as Equality Kansas chair, and by the way, we need younger people running Equality Kansas, we made one of our goals to reach out to rural and smaller populated communities. So we're going everywhere, and I'm really happy to be part of this. I'm retired. Nobody can take my job. And I'm totally out, and I'm loving all this work with all these people.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Tom. And do you want to go ahead and go?
Yeah, sure. My name is Orion Turner. I'm the founder and, I guess, director of the Emporia Pride Celebration. So we had our first Pride Celebration in Emporia in the year 2021. What it was I was in high school at the time, and I asked my choir teacher, I was like, "Why don't we have our own Pride Festival?" And she was like, "Well, I don't really have a good answer for that." And I was like, "Well, what if we do one?" She was like, "You're crazy." When we did one. So we knew we wanted to have a parade, we wanted to have a drag show, we wanted to have those kinds of things. And one of the alumni from our school was a very popular drag performer in Kansas City. They went by this personality Q. And so we asked Q if they would come and do one show, and they were very, maybe, it's kind of a scary situation coming back to your hometown. We really didn't know what to expect. This thing had never happened before, and we were in this bar. The capacity was like 250 or 300, and all of a sudden there were 1,000 people at the bar, all the way down the block, all the way down the other block. So the next year we rented out the big Granada Theater. After the first one, they were like, "Well, we have to do more of these," because it was wildly successful. Now we've got live music, food, and all those things, and Main Street has been a really great, resource with helping us like cultivate that. And we also have our drag show, which Q still comes back and does. And, you know, we usually fill this huge theater. It's lots and lots of fun. And I think the cool thing was not only did that first event spark the community to kind of accept that kind of thing, but also it searched for it. You know, people were, when's the next show? When's the next event? One of the main things that these performers would tell us that they loved coming back to was they could see huge families just in the audience. Mm-hmm. So they do a show in a bar here in Kansas City, see, you know, a bunch of 21-year-old gay guys around the bar. Nothing wrong with it. But they come to Emporia and they see an entire family. Right. And they're like, wow, this is different. This is different than when I get in the city. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a little rundown of what we do in Emporia.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad to have you all here with us talking about this today. I think a lot of folks, a lot of LGBTQ plus people have very vivid memories of the first Pride event they were around. You know, mine was when I was in Wichita, when I went there for college. It was my first chance to see like a true Pride. I think there's a lot of folks in Kansas and other rural states that it's very formative when they have that type of acceptance in their communities. And so seeing that we're starting to have a lot more opportunities for Pride events across the state, you know, starting in 2021 in your community, I know Tom with Equality Kansas, we've started to see more Pride events across the state. So I'd love to just hear, you know, about, you know, a little bit more about the Pride events that your organizations are a part of in your own communities, or, you know, alongside that, why do y'all feel in your organizations or individually these Pride events are so important for our communities?
Well, I can kind of start. Immediately what I think of. I think that when I was growing up, it was hard for me to understand that there were people doing these kinds of things, that there were artists that could express themselves and authentically and who they were, and that was their job. Their full-time job was just to be themselves and to express themselves. That really wasn't a thing in my town. And so I created this festival, this celebration, because it was the representation that I needed to see. Because I needed to see that, oh, we can do this. And this is possible. And this is what can happen even in rural America. And so I think the main thing that it's something that my mom told me when I was young, which was that small towns deserve to be on a map. They deserve to be able to say, that's our person, when they watch TV. And that's like kind of how it was, you know, on this last season of Drag Race, because we were like, that's our person. That's Q. That's our Emporian. Young queer people need that to exist. I mean, to have something to exist for. They need to see that. And so that was really an inspiring reason for me, because for one, I needed it myself, and two, see how the peers around me felt like, well, there was no path for them in this community. So reminding these older communities that this is important, that we have to be seen to be real, and to exist, we have to be seen, and giving younger communities that nourishment that they need of, this is what you can go do, this is how you can exist, and it's okay to just be who you want to be.
Yeah, and I think that kind of intergenerational connection that inherently exists when we create space for us to be together is so important for sharing our community's history, both the LGBTQ community, but also like Kansas's history for our community is really important.
Absolutely.
Do y'all want to speak to that?
I'm going to kind of piggyback on what you said about families coming to your event. And I think this is what we actually focused on with our Pride picnic last year, and we will continue that in a couple weeks with our second annual Pride picnic. It's all about family, either your natural family or your chosen family. And we want people to come for those 2 hours and connect with other people in the community and just have a lot of fun. So we have some, you know, organizations now coming in and tabling, like the library, and Big Brothers, Big Sisters will be there tabling. So people are now wanting, groups are now wanting to be with us. And when they do that, our attendees see that, hey, we've got these groups in the community that support us. So it's just fabulous. You know, people in Leavenworth could see events in Kansas City and, you know, all over in the big cities, but they didn't have anything for themselves. So we felt it was really important, you know, to bring that to Leavenworth.
I would kind of echo what Orion was talking about. I think it was that first year that you said, hey, let's do this. And the high school group came to us and said, well, we'd like to have t-shirts for the event. And we're like, well, we can make that happen. And you saw all of these community members coming in and purchasing these Emporia Pride shirts. And they were so excited about them. So we have a landing page on our website where anybody in the Emporia area, if they have a Pride-related activity, they can send us the information. And it lives on our website and people can access it and we promote it. And we just want to make sure people know that these activities are taking place and we're excited about them. And just, we really try and focus on the positive, you know, because there are a lot of cool things happening in our community. And I think rural America worries about losing population. And, you know, if people don't feel welcome and it's not a good vibe, why would they stay? So one of our goals is just to make sure that members of our community feel valued. And so I think that there is a large portion of people who live in smaller communities that are part of the LGBTQ plus community. And if they don't feel welcome, why would they live there?
That's so true. You know, Tom, from Equality Kansas's perspective, I know y'all work across the state with lots of orgs. Do you have, you know, insight on the importance of Pride or like how, you know, you've seen it pop up in some of the other communities, more rural communities you've worked with?
Well, yeah. And from my perspective, you know, I'm going to be 67 next month. So I remember a lot of stuff, you know, over the years. And 69, I was 12 years old working in the school library and I found out, oh, I'm a homosexual. But I knew I was in danger too. And people were being killed and tortured. And so I put on my best face to fit in. So I always knew who and what I was and that we weren't welcome. You know, I remember when Wichita was the first city in Kansas to pass a non-discrimination order in 1977, and then watch all the religious fanatics move in and destroy that progress. And my first Pride was in 1990 in Kansas City. We met Fred Phelps, and I was bringing a new friend who was scared, who was from rural Missouri. And I got in front of his face, Fred, I said, how dare you? How dare you do this stuff? And my friend's just looking at me going, you're nuts. But there was no soul in those eyes, and that really hit me. And I went to almost every Pride after that. I've been to Palm Springs, San Diego, Topeka, Lawrence, all these Prides all over, as wherever I could go. And the one thing that keeps getting me is not the Kansas City Pride. It's the Leavenworth Pride. It's the Lawrence Pride. It's the Garden City Pride we went to last year, which was fabulous. People came out of the woodwork from, and a lot of Latinos. I'm Latino myself, and it's important to bring people of color into our, that's one of the things we're working on in Equality Kansas, is to bring people of color and people from the rural communities, and they're getting excited, and we're going to hit something like 12 prides this year outside of Kansas City, Wichita, and Topeka. I'm going to McPherson tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would love to kind of add on about the kind of Fred Phelps thing. So I grew up, obviously, in Emporia. Went to high school there, went to middle school there. My junior year of high school, there was this day that the Westboro people had planned to come protest, not at my school, but at the middle school. Mm-hmm. Middle school's right across the street. They were protesting because there was a transgender child in the school. That was the protest. That was the premise of the protest. I bought 200 of these just rainbow masks, handed them out as people came into the door. That day, you walked around the hallway. Every teacher, every student, every para, you knew what colors everybody was flying because there were a handful of people who did not have them. And to not have it was kind of a statement in itself. And at about 2:30, they were supposed to start at 2:45, everybody in the school just kind of stood up and walked over. And we all walked over wearing these masks, and we just stood in front of the middle school, probably 200 of us, just stood. We just stood there, just to block them. And then a biker gang of dads, huge beard, smoking cigarettes, the Kansas stereotype, pull up on the side of the road, and they just start revving their engines as loud as they can. And then all the teachers from the middle school walk out, and one of them is holding a sign that says, "I love my students no matter what." And it was at that moment that I kind of realized, I was like, their hate over there is like weak. It's incredibly weak. It only takes this for us to overpower it, double it, and make it a positive environment where you're like, somehow, like, I'm skipping school. We're standing here with all the people I like. This is awesome. And so it made me realize that the hate is weak, but you have to keep fighting, and you have to keep fighting. And that's what's exhausting about it.
Yeah. And I think that the broader point you're making there about love being stronger than hate, I think is kind of like the lesson from that. A lot of my like favorite moments as an advocate in this work has been born from someone hating, you know, right. Someone attempting to silence us, someone attempting to, you know, put enough fear in our communities that we go back into the shadows. And I think so often the moments where our community grows, where our state becomes better, are when we stand up against that hate. And so I think it's so important. And I think that leads really well into my next topic I want to talk about, is just sort of, while we have this group of advocates here that is a number of folks that are from more of our rural communities, I want to talk about how this overlay of where we live and what the cultural dynamics of our communities are impact your advocacy, you know, because queer and trans people don't just live in metropolitan areas and coastal states. We live everywhere. What this conversation is just really bringing that narrative to life, but also our advocacy is happening in these communities. And I think it looks different in part because it has to, for safety, for your day-to-day lives in those spaces, but it also looks different because of the way those communities interact. So I'd love to hear, you know, from y'all's perspective, how does living in the communities you live in impact your advocacy on queer and trans issues?
Well, there's a certain amount of care you have to have, which is part of it. I mean, our community has been, in my opinion, very great with mm-hmm. receiving the events, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't had its moments. Mm-hmm. Like the last Pride event we had was in February, and it was a homecoming show for Q. It was more of just a huge party for Q, right? Mm-hmm. And we, of course, received, you know, bombing threats all over social media. But like, Q's mother was there, and she was the most affected. I mean, she was very, very upset about it. But I think that the thing that I found was, again, that none of them actually showed up.
There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. And, you know, they are all talk and big and tough when they don't have to show up.
Exactly.
You know, they're really, I think, the ones that are scared and intimidated. Absolutely. And you see some of those nasty comments or the threats, and you do a little research, and you know that profile's not even like a real person. And I'm like, really? Right. You know, you're going to act big and tough, but you won't even put your name on things? And come on. But I think for us, well, in Emporia, for sure, there is a lot of visual representation of how people feel. And we talk about like these posters that I brought you guys. We did this maybe a year or so ago. We just made these in-house that said, everybody's welcome here in Emporia, Kansas. They're free. Come by the office. We would love to hook you up. And hundreds of them went out the door. And we said, don't just put them up in June. You know, yeah. We want to, you know, celebrate in June, but we need to be recognizing 365. And you can walk downtown our commercial street, and the number of businesses that have these in their front window is really inspiring. And I think, you know, being an advocate or an ally, I listen to everyone's stories here, and I think I'm making posters and selling T-shirts, and you guys have been through so much, but I hope that those small gestures can make a big impact, and that's
They do. In Leavenworth, it gets rough. Mm-hmm. We've had protests at the school board a couple times, and one was for book banning.
Leavenworth, though, is an incredible story. Barb and her group have done, and I've been able to participate Absolutely. In it. and watch this community grow and people coming out saying, I thought I was the only one. Yeah. And there's thousands of people. And last year, Major, now Lieutenant Colonel Cammie Earlmeyer from Fort Leavenworth, Barb hooked us up, proposed a Pride Day celebration on post approved by the United States Army. And we were invited to attend that. Three-star general, Lieutenant General Beagle, gave this proclamation and basically told the Army under his command, we will be tolerant, we will be inclusive, but without being angry or I order you, but just talking about how it's good business, how it's good humanity. It was an incredible, and I was in the United States Air Force for 9 years, hidden in the closet from 77 to 85. That was very moving, and that community did that.
What we're hearing around this table and from my, you know, work as an advocate in the state, this rings true, is that people perceive the communities to be this way, but in reality, Kansas is actually, you know, a very loving, welcoming state. You know, I'm a lifelong Kansan. The values that I was instilled as a Kansan, I still hold dearly to. And those values say that I'm welcome here. I should be living my life, you know, freely and openly in Kansas, just like everyone else. And I think when you start to be loud and visible in these communities and create a space for people to come together, it's just that much more evident that that actually is the Kansas that we live in currently. Mm-hmm. That we don't have to make that Kansas. It already exists. We just need to come together and really be able to harness our power.
Oh, yeah.
So that the small voices that are loud and giving us hate are silenced.
And I think there's something that I learned is a lot more people are on the fence than you think. Like, more people are right at the threshold of acceptance. Mm-hmm. And that was something I really learned because I grew up Mormon. We all, every single Sunday, go up to Mormon church. And the people that are working these events with me are devout Mormons sometimes. I mean, it took me, you know, I grew up in that community, attended in that community. I was the pianist. And so it didn't take a lot for them to realize, you know what? I just really don't care that much.
I know we're kind of having a discussion about this moment. I don't want to gloss over some of the negatives that come from being visible or being loud advocates. I get a lot of hate mail. I've had doxing account on my social media. These things happen to LGBTQ advocates in rural spaces. I think I want to name and just hold space for, like you're saying, you know, we hear these threats, they're keyboard warriors. It doesn't often come to fruition. Those things do still impact us. Mm-hmm. They impact our communities. They impact us here at this table as adult advocates. So I don't want to minimize that is present here in our state. You know, I grew up seeing the God hates fag signs from the Phelps, you know, outside of my elementary schools in Topeka as well. And that has been ever present in my life. But I want to focus also on the ways in which, even just in that conversation we were having about the negative that exists, I think we come back to centering joy, centering the love that's in our communities. And so I would love to hear from y'all, you know, how has your work as an advocate on these issues brought you joy, especially during Pride Month, especially in your local communities?
Well, if I may,
yeah,
in our little forays out to smaller communities, which that's really actually been more empowering and more fun to me than going to Wichita Pride or I'm going to Kansas City Pride. And I'll tell you what, the experiences in the smaller towns and the joy, the people that are like, oh, I wish we had more of this, you know, and I just was asked by somebody in Salina, why can't they have a gender affirming care clinic like a panel like Lawrence had, like Kansas City had? And we can. And that's why we're out there, is to tell people, come on, let's do something. You could either start a chapter with us. We've started two new. We'll be in Pittsburgh, Kansas for their Pride. We were already in Little Apple. We can do these things. This isn't something just for Wichita or Kansas City to do. These are things for Salina, for Emporia, for Hayes, for Russell. We have a chapter in Russell, for Pete's sake, okay? That brings me huge joy that that people are feeling empowered and included, and they feel like, yeah, okay, well, I do belong.
And to the people that say, you know, queer people are destroying the family, just come to my event.
Right.
Like, just do it, because you'll see that there are families, and that is the value of it, is that this is family, this is community. And so if you're really genuinely frightened of your kid encountering something before you get the chance to kind of touch base with them on that, you have to touch base with them on that, mm-hmm. because they're going to encounter it.
Correct.
It's real life. These are real people.
I think that's so important too, like this point about proximity, or really your willingness to like engage with the world around you. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of this, you know, even in my own lived experiences, just not as an advocate, like folks will have strong opinions about trans people in general. But they have not actually talked to a trans person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, about trans healthcare in their state. But they've never talked to anyone that's utilized healthcare that's trans. And so I will have a conversation as someone who they've known, you know, my entire life in Kansas. Like, you're talking about Orion in your community. They trust me. They respect me. They love me. And I'm trans. And so they have to grapple with that. And I think just having opportunities like what we're talking about, the work you all are doing, creating space for us to have those conversations, for people to actually grapple with it, it gets us so many more allies and so many more accomplices in the work, just because they are forced to reckon with something that prior they didn't think of as real. They didn't actually have an example in their life to connect it to, and so they had a scary idea of what it was, a boogeyman in their head about it.
Right.
But they're being forced to engage with our community, and I find when they do that, all the examples that y'all have shared, you know, show that actually leads to us having more welcoming, loving spaces and not more conflict.
Yeah, I had an experience with my grandma the first time I came back from college. I sat down with her, and it had been a question in the back of my mind since I was like 16 or whatever. And my grandma, you know, they're all Mormon. And I literally had, I finally built up the courage to just ask her, so why do you accept me? So I asked her that. And she told me, she said, because how could I understand? How could that help? How could it ever help me to stop talking to you? And that was a moment that, first of all, made me realize it's a lot simpler than we think it is. And two, that love is stronger. She, of course, had no exposure to it her whole life. Her logic in her mind could still say, that would not do anything good. That would make me miserable, and that would make you miserable. That doesn't do anything for us. And so that was a moment that made me realize it's really easy for some people. Just right there.
I just wanted to close by giving space for each of y'all to uplift upcoming events in your community, you know, that your organization's putting on, that you recently put on, or that will be put on, you know, for the LGBTQ community, or, you know, also share with our listeners how they can stay connected with your organizations and your community, or if they want to, how they can get more involved with your organizations.
Well, my group, Leavenworth Family Pride, is having a Pride Picnic, our second annual Pride Picnic, June 23rd at Hawthorne Park in Leavenworth. It's right next to a splash pad, so if it's a hot day, you can cool down. It's entirely free. We have a lot of local organizations going to be doing little craft projects for children and adults, so the adults are not excluded. Everyone is welcome.
The best way to find out like all the things that are going on in the community is just EmporiaMainStreet.com. And if you go there on the sidebar, there'll be Emporia Celebrates Pride Month. And you click on that link, and that'll take you to all the good things happening in the community throughout June. And if anybody is interested in getting one of these posters, they can just probably reach out to me on social media, send me a message, and we can figure out how to get you on.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'll jump to Orion just in case you got more to chime in.
Kind of double up a little bit.
Yeah,
Emporia love here.
So we have a couple of different events this year. We've added for our kickoff Thursday the 20th. I think that's a Thursday, right?
Yes.
Thursday the 20th, we'll have a comedy show. That's going to be a stand-up comedy event featuring some local queer talent and beyond. The next day, Friday, we have an event called Friday Pride Live. This year, we're focusing on more of like a bluegrassy kind of feel, you know, keeping it to Kansas. Exactly. And we'll have food vendors. We'll have, you know, fun activities for kids to do, crafts, stuff like that. And then on Saturday, we close out our event with our parade, which will start around 6 p.m. And of course, Q is the headliner for that. And then we'll have our big drag show at our historic Granada Theater right after that at around 8 p.m. with Q as our headliner for that as well.
So we have the Rainbow Tour this year, and we started in Manhattan, Little Apple Pride, and we were in Salina last weekend. We'll be in Kansas City this weekend, and I'll be in McPherson. We'll be in Hutchinson at the State Fairgrounds. Cool. We'll be in Wichita for their big parade with all the flags. Garden City, Hayes, Dodge City, Pittsburgh, Leavenworth, and that's all I've got. But don't forget, Equality Kansas Northeast region has the CABA Central Avenue Betterment Association parade in a very large Latino district. So there's all kinds of opportunity for food and culture. We've been really super welcomed there for the last 5 years by CABA. Edgar Galicia is a good supporter of the LGBTQ community.
Well, thank you all for spending some of your Friday afternoon with me. And happy Pride.
Happy Pride.